إن الحمد لله نحمده واستعينه واستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek His help, I seek His forgiveness and His assistance. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, indeed there is none who can misguide him. And whoever Allah azza wa jal allows to go astray, there is none who can guide him aright. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his slave, his messenger, and the seal of all the prophets. After what proceeds, today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll be starting with the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Az-Zubair bin Al-Awwam. Some of his lineage, the scholar, he began with his lineage. Scholar said, this prominent companion's name was Az-Zubair bin Al-Awwam bin Khuwaylid bin Asad bin Abdul Uzza bin Qusay bin Kilab. He was related to Allah's Messenger through Qusay bin Kilab, and he was a Qurayshi Asadi, Al-Qurayshi Al-Asadi. His nickname was Abu Abdullah. His mother was Safiyya bint Abdul Muttalib, who belonged to the same noble family. Some descriptions of Az-Zubayr. Az-Zubayr bin Al-Awwam was very tall. His hair was thick, but his beard's hair was sparse. His complexion was light brown, and he didn't dye his hair, but left it gray. And it is saying that Az-Zubayr, he was very tall. Okay, and it is beneficial that we look at his features, his description, and we get to know who this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. His hair was thick, but his beard's hair was sparse. His complexion was light brown, as traditionally the people there are light brown, and he didn't dye his hair but left it gray. He was resolute even when he was young. During his youth, he quarreled with a man and broke his hand. The man was carried to his house. When he passed by Az-Zubayr's mother, she came to know that her son had broken his hand, i.e. the man's hand. She said words of praise for her son and was proud that he could defend himself. And you will, inshallah ta'ala, will understand why she was proud of her son for doing this later on in the Dars, inshallah. Okay, he was related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, his messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, was the husband of Aisha radiallahu anha, the sister of Asma bin Abu Bakr, the wife of Az-Zubayr, Habiba. The grandmother of Az-Zubayr was the grandmother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it seems here that Az-Zubayr had the same grandmother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hala bint Wahib, the maternal aunt of Allah's Messenger, was Az-Zubayyah's grandmother. Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiyallahu anha, the wife of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the paternal aunt of Az-Zubayyah's grandmother. So they're really closely related. Thus they were blood and marriage relationships between he and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, it seems like Az-Zubayr was an orphan. He became an orphan at a very young age. His father, Al-Awwam bint Khuwaylid, was killed in a battle among the tribes of the Arabiya Peninsula that left nothing but many mourning wives and orphans. Az-Zubayr was left an orphan under the custody of his mother. After losing her husband, now Az-Zubayr's mother felt how hard life could be. Okay. And she was very grateful to have her son with her. She wanted her son to know how to use the sword and spear. So you see these great people of the past, they used to teach their sons and their daughters about war, especially their sons. This is a particular woman. She is teaching, she's given Az-Zubayr at a young age, exposing him to the sword and the spear. She wanted him to become a man of dignity, and she worked very hard on him. She was stern when he needed rebuking and didn't spare the rod. She was asked why she beat him, or why she used the rod on him, and she replied she was doing it to make him a disciplined man, which you will see his her grooming over this young Sahaba was the fruit of his actions and his devotedness to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She wanted to have a strong son to be proud of. Before the advent of Islam, Az-Zubayr radiyallahu anhu was aware of the bad condition of the people in Mecca, and he understood the honesty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And looking at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's life before his proclamation of the message, his mother had told him before that her nephew, i.e. the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was famous for his truthfulness. He had listened carefully to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and decided to adopt Islam as his way of life. And you see, if they're having the blood relations with one another, Az-Zubayr was inclined to the Islam. He went to Abu Bakr's house and asked him about Islam. Abu Bakr told him that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a messenger from Allah, and he explained to him the principles of Islam, urging him to follow the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Az-Zubayr was convinced and expressed his interest to meet the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and embrace Islam. Now here you have Abu Bakr giving da'wah again. Abu Bakr gave da'wah to Az-Zubayr, and as a return for this, Az-Zubayr embraced Islam. He was only 15 years old. Okay, so he took shahada when he was 15. And during this time, in this age, this particular time period, at 15 years old, you are considered a mature during this age. Unlike our 15-year-olds. Our 15-year-olds are still playing Nintendo games and cartoons, right? These 15-year-olds knew about war. They knew about chivalry. They knew about manhood at a very early age. And the scholar is saying that he embraced Islam after Abu Bakr he was either the fourth or the fifth to revert to Islam. He was known for his piety and keen sense of awareness, of self-awareness, The non-Muslims in his the kuffar in his community resented his conversion and tortured him in order to coerce him into abandoning his religion. Okay, this isn't uncommon when you see the little children, or when you see the youth of a community adopting a new pathway of life. Of course, the elders are going to be very concerned. As a result of this, they tortured him. They were idol worshippers and wanted to turn him back to his old religion. His paternal uncle tried to compel him to return to the religion of his forefathers, the worship of Al-Lat and Al-Uzza and other idols. But Az-Zubayr wouldn't let anyone turn him away from the truth, the haqq. No matter who they were, no matter what he might face of trials and afflictions, his mother was one of the hardest on him to make him return to her way of life, and she didn't take shahada yet, as of yet. Okay. His uncle wrapped him in a mat and filled it with smoke to suffocate him, hoping he would give in, but it was to no avail. Okay. In spite of all these hardships, Az-Zubayr remained true to his belief. He wanted to be strong like the Muslims around him, who were a good example to him. He knew Islam's superiority and how it made people better in every aspect of life. It's a little small story about Az-Zubayr. One day, as the chiefs of the Quraysh were sitting near the Kaaba, mocking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers, a young man approached them crying. He began shouting that Az-Zubayr has beaten up his father and broken his arm. The young man added, quote, he was about to kill my father, end quote. Az-Zubayr was a little harsh. And also from the last story that we went through, the Sahaba said that the harshest or the most sternest amongst us is Umar, Az-Zubayr, Ali, and Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas. These were some of the sternest of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even as a continuation of the story, he urged the chiefs of the Quraysh to stop the orphan. The chiefs of the Quraysh asked the young man about the reason that made Az-Zubayr beat his father. Okay, he explained, quote, it was because of the difference of religion. My father said something bad about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam, and Az-Zubayr got angry at hearing such insult. Because he had already accepted Islam, he lost control and attacked my father until I thought he was about to kill him. Okay, you see, not only Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu was tall and strong and firm. He was a rajul, right? Even in the time of youth, Az-Zubayr bin Al-Awwam had the honor to be the first to draw his sword in the way of Allah. He loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam much, and this is one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his devotion and love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is so manifest that it makes us look minute on the scale of love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. His love was not due to the relationship only between Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and him. It was due to the fact that the love of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a religious duty. Because of Allah's Messenger was the one charged with conveying the message of Allah, additionally, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the characteristics that endured him to everyone who came to know him closely. It was rumored in Mecca that the kuffar had killed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, now when I read this story, I was going over this material. It is something phenomenal. The news afflicted all the Muslims, but Az-Zubair became so angry that he drew his sword and began searching for the enemies, right? Or the one who the rumor had started that they killed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him, he called him, "What is wrong with you, O Zubair?" Zubair. He said, "I was told you had been killed." Okay. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed to Allah to bless him and his sword. It is said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "What would you have done?" As Zubair said, "By Allah, I intended to shed the blood of the guilty in Mecca." So if you try to put this fish in his water, you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it so happened that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen as Zubair. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him what was wrong with him. He said, "I was told you had been killed." Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed to Allah to bless him and his sword. To bless him and his sword, okay? And you'll see the results of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshaAllah. It was said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "What would you have done?" And Zubair said, "By Allah, I intended to shed the blood of the guilty in Mecca." Okay? Focusing on the hijrah of Az-Zubair. When the kuffar of Mecca intensified their persecution against the Muslims, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted them to migrate to Abyssinia. Az-Zubair was among those to migrate. Okay, so he was a muhajir before the great hijrah to Al-Madinah. He was the one amongst the Sahaba to migrate to Abyssinia. When they reached there, they found the people very nice to them. They received good treatment and lived in peace. The Muslims felt secure and protected under the care of the emperor. They found an opponent of the emperor had revolted against him. Okay, now this is an internal war. Or they came in the midst of a revolution, or they happened to live there to see a man who was trying to revolt against the emperor. The Muslims were afraid the rebel might seize power and overcome the emperor. The emperor had to fight a big battle against his foe. The Muslims were very anxious to know the result of the battle, which was about to take place behind the Nile River. Then they asked Az-Zubair to go to the scene of the battle and bring them the news. Az-Zubair made a float and swam to where the battle was taking place. He saw the emperor defeat his opponent and return to tell his family or his fellow Muslims to the good news. If you look at this, Az-Zubair was a warrior. Okay, when you look at the life of Az-Zubair, you see a man who was a warrior. Not only a warrior, but a compassionate warrior, a devout soldier. Az-Zubair, he built some type of float and swam to where the battle was taking place. He saw the emperor defeat his opponent and return to tell his family or his fellow Muslims the good news. Now you see a man with all this danger that's taking place, he took a special trip to see this war. He went to go see this war. He went to go study this war. He went to go see his heart, the battlefield. As Zubair and his companions in Abyssinia received news that the Muslims had finally found refuge in Al-Medina. Therefore, they all set out for Al-Medina to join them. Upon arriving, as Zubair discovered that his mother had accepted Islam, Allahu Akbar, and had migrated with other Muslims. Not only did she accept, Islam, but she made hijrah. So this is a this was a believing woman with the other Muslims. He was so happy to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his mother under the banner of al-Islam. This is some of the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a brotherhood between him and Abdullah bin Mas'ud in Mecca. When they migrated to Al-Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held the contract of brotherhood between him and a companion named Salama bin Waqash. Okay. Radiallahu anhu. Some of his courage. Now we get to the meat of the bone, right? Zubair bin Al-Awwam was an extremely courageous horseman, a unique warrior, and a daring combatant. He was young, strong, and eager to put an end to the tyranny of the pagans. He never feared a situation or an enemy. He participated in all the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he shared in the first battle of Badr that was waged against Islam. He did his best to protect his faith, state, and his fellow Muslims. A year later, the Quraysh wanted to take revenge for the big blow that they received at Badr. This is the Battle of Uhud. As Zubair and his companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept steadfast and protected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam against the attempts to kill him. He stood in the middle of the battlefield shooting arrows at the pagan fighters until the battle was over. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And it is real difficult to be an archer, because if you're ordered to stand there, you can't move. You cannot move. You just have to keep. And of course, if someone tries to come at you, you use your sword. But you're not a swordsman. You are an archer. And there may be an army battalion who is relying on your arrows. So you can't move. You know, you can't move. And the Zubair was standing there in a strategic position in the middle of the battlefield shooting arrows at the kuffar. His uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu was killed in the battle, and his body was mutilated. His mother came to see the body of her brother, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to stop her. She was a true Muslim and told her son that she knew that her brother's body was deformed and by the pagans, and that she would keep patient, for she knew that her brother's soul would go to paradise. The Quraysh could not achieve their intentions, so they prepared another battle. They held a pact against Islam and the Muslims and gathered 10,000 soldiers from all over the Arabia. And headed toward Al-Medina. The Muslims felt the danger and discussed the best way to defend their town and people. We know this as the Battle of the Trench. As Zubair did not lag behind in any battle or expedition with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he joined hands with his fellow Muslims to dig a trench. Now, if I had the time, we could go a little more deeper into this. The Battle of the Trench, historians say that this battle lasted for 1 month. And as in preparation, the Prophet ﷺ made mashura, or made a consultation with the Sahaba, and they agreed to stay in Medina and dig a trench around Medina. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And there's brilliant stories and narration concerning how the Prophet ﷺ and his Sahaba did this. And if you go to Medina, you'll still see traces of this trench. And they worked all day to complete the job before the pagan army had arrived. When the Kuffar arrived to the outskirts of Al-Medina, they were stopped by the trench, and the Muslim archers were ready to shoot them down. The Muslim children, women, and elderly men were safe inside a fenced area to keep the Jews or the pagans from getting to them. Safiya, radiyallahu anhu, Az-Zubayr's mother. Now listen to this. This was Az-Zubayr's mother, okay, was at that place, and she saw that a Jew roaming around, afraid, but having to do battle anyway. She took a long stick, surprised the Jew, and killed him. Okay, and there's a longer hadith concerning this. Now this is Az-Zubayr's mother who did this act. I did not know this personally until now, actually. Well, when I read it earlier, I came across it. But in the history books, this woman here, she saved the lives of all these women and children and men. This was a strategic killing, okay? Because there was a Yahud who had came trying to see and find out where the women and children were. Actually, they knew, but they wanted to see if there were any men there guarding the women and children and the elderly men, etc. So this Yahud came to try to spy. She seen him, maybe through a peek hole or someone cracking a wall, and she built up her courage. Can you imagine your heart just racing? You know, when you're about to do something and you just have just a little span of time to think, how fast your heart goes and the hairs of the end of your neck, they stand up. You get those goosebumps. She picked up a stick. She picked up a stick. It is said in a lot of books, it is said he peeked his head around the corner, and as soon as she got the head, she whap upside the head, and he fell down. And she finished him off. She cut his head off. She cut his head off like a goat, threw it over the fence, and the Yahud seen the head, and they say, yes, there's men guarding this position. And you know who this was? This was Az-Zubayr's mother. This was Az-Zubayr's mother. When he marched out to invade Egypt, the ruler of Egypt wrote him, and now he's skipping around, the scholar is skipping around. But he went to conquer or to invade Egypt. And the ruler of Egypt wrote him a letter. This is some of their customs, right? The leader of Egypt, he said, indeed plague has spread in the state or in our land. So return to where you come from. He's trying to use some tactics to keep him away from coming and getting his head. So Az-Zubayr, he wrote back to him, I have marched out either to face plague or to be stabbed. Meaning you cannot, we will, when we set off with our intention, we're going to fulfill it. We're going to fulfill it. And that he did. The disciple of Allah's Messenger, Az-Zubayr, used to respond to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commandments of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without the least bit of hesitation. Aisha radiyallahu anha said, my nephew your two fathers, referring to Abu Bakr, his grandfather, and Zubair ibn al-Awwam, his father, were among those who responded to Allah and His Messenger, and on the day of Uhud, as stated in the Noble Quran. Those who answer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in translation of which, those who answer the call of Allah and His Messenger after being wounded, for those of them who did good deeds and feared Allah, there is a great reward. This is in chapter 3, ayat number 172. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is saying here that Aisha radiallahu anha had revealed an ayat of the Quran in relation to their bravery. The reason behind naming him the disciple of Allah's Messenger is that on the day of the trench, now we'll see how Az-Zubair had got this this name. Was the mic off? The mic off. It was on. So, the reason behind naming him the disciple of Allah's Messenger is that on the day of the trench, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who would bring us the news of the Jews? As Zubair said, I will. Then he went out and brought the news. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said for the second time, who will bring us the news of the Jews, or a certain tribe of the Jews called Qurraza. Okay. As Zubair said, I will. Then he went out and brought the news. This is the second time, okay? Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said for the third time. Okay, now this is a month's period. Okay, this is the Battle of the Trench lasted 1 month. Okay, and every time Rasulullah ﷺ wanted someone to go and find out the news of the Jews, he said, who would go and find out the news about the Jews? As Zubair said for a third time, I will. SubhanAllah. Then he went out and brought the news. Thereupon Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every prophet has a disciple, and my disciple is Az-Zubair. So you see this honor of this companion who was granted the glad tidings of paradise. Thus Az-Zubair was most they received the news of the Hawazin tribe of Ta'if. Hawazin, is a colloquial, was preparing to fight them. The Prophet ﷺ commanded the companions of the Prophet ﷺ to march to conquer Hawazin. The Muslims felt that they were against a very strong army, and as they met the army of Hawazin, many of them fled from the battle scene out of fear and weak faith. You have to understand that there was a lot of people who just took shahada from Fath Mecca, and they had joined the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were boasting about their numbers, and they weren't very educated. Okay. Muslims felt that they were against a very strong army, and as they met the army of Hawazin, many of them fled from the battle scene out of fear and weak faith. Only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Az-Zubair, and a few other companions of the Prophet alayhi salam kept their positions and fought a good battle. The leader of Hawazin saw a tall man penetrating the rows. He inquired who the brave leader of the Muslims was. He was told that it was Az-Zubair. He praised him and urged his men to show the same kind of bravery as Az-Zubair had. Az-Zubair had participated in the battles of Mu'ta and Tabuk. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knew the audacious, the spirit of Az-Zubair, and he rightfully granted him a high ranking decoration. Commenting on the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and of mankind is he who sells himself, in the translation of which, and of mankind is he who sells himself seeking the pleasure of Allah. And Allah is full of kindness to his slaves. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma told that the mushrikeen intended to kill Khubab radiallahu anhu. And when he was about to slay him, see, he said, let me perform turaqah. So they allowed him to do so. Having performed turaqah, Khubayb radiallahu anhu said, I feared that they would think I was fearing death, otherwise I would have prolonged the turaqah and chanted a poetic verse. Quote, when I am killed in the state of Islam, I do not care on which flank will my death befall me. The mushrikeen crucified him while he was alive. In his torment, he prayed to Allah. He made dua. O Allah, indeed you know that there is none around me to inform your messenger about, alayhi salatu wasalam, about my place. So convey to him my greeting. The mushrikeen also shot an arrow at him and stabbed him with a spear. The Prophet ﷺ was informed about the news, so he said, who will fetch Khubayb from the cross? That he would be granted paradise. This certain instance, the Prophet ﷺ was informed about the death of Khubayb by wahi, and the Prophet ﷺ asked the person, whoever fetched his body would be granted paradise. And guess who stood up? Az-Zubayr. He said, and then he's given a quotation of his situation. I started my mission with my companion Al-Miqdad by day and night till we reached a place after 40 days. There were 40 men guarding the body. All of them were asleep. Nothing of the body of Khubayb had changed. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And also this is one of the miracles of the Shaheed. When they get killed in the path of Allah, their bodies do not alter. Az-Zubayr had carried him on his horse and went away. 70 people tried to catch the two horsemen. Az-Zubayr raised his turban and said, I am Az-Zubayr bin Al-Awwam. My mother is Safiyya bint Abdul Muttalib. And my companion is Al-Miqdad bin Al-Aswad. We are two daring lions. If you would like to fight, we are ready. If you would like to duel, we are ready. And if you would like to go away, then go away. And they went away. This was subhanallah. And You see that Az-Zubayr, mentioning his quality, said, I am Az-Zubayr, and my mother is Safiyya. You know why he said this? Because Safiyya was the one who bobbed that Yahud upside the head, cut his head off like a goat and threw it over the fence. Okay? And he named his companion. And he said, we are two daring lions. We eat you. Okay, if you would like to fight, we're ready. If you would like to duel, we are ready. And if you would like to go away, then go away. Okay, so they weren't that concerned over his body, so they let him go. Okay. He himself relates a third story that shows his courage. On the day of Badr, I met Ubaidah bin Sa'd, who was heavily armed. Nothing but his eyes could be seen. He will be nicknamed Abu Zatal Qarish. Okay, Allah knows best what this is. He said, I am Abu Zatal Qarish. And he's saying this out of to try to frighten a person. You know how you would have in the martial arts, on the martial arts videos, before they fight, they show their strength. He could kick his foot. Then the Quraysh, what these people would do, they would mention who they were, and they would mention who their fathers were, okay, to put fear in the opponent, like the martial art experts would show how high they can kick, how hard they can hit before they actually did battle. I attacked him, as you better say, I attacked him with the spear, with a spearheaded stick, and stabbed him therein with the eye, in his eye where he had the protection, and he died. You know the flaw about all this protection is when you fall, it's hard to get up. Okay, so if somebody kicked you in your back, boom, all this armor is falling on the ground, and how are you going to see this way, right? You don't have the spandex protect what you can. No, this is big and heavy armor. When you fail, that's it. He knocked him down, spearheaded with a spearheaded stick, and stabbed him right in the eye. Okay? Hisham ibn Awra, radiallahu anhu, reported that I was told that Az-Zubair said, I put my foot on him and stretched to pull out the spearhead from him. And his end was bent, meaning Zubair, he put his foot on it. You know how you take out a tent peg from the ground. When you put the tent down and you put it real in the ground, it's sticky, right? So as Zubair put his foot on this kafir to get his spearhead out, and he put his foot on it to yank it out, and he said that it had bent. Okay, now here's an interesting story concerning the spearhead. Was there any act more courageous or skillful than fighting a man so heavily armed that he could only see with his eyes? As Allah's messenger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hadith is in Bukhari, this hadith sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him for the spearheaded stick. Okay? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him for the spearheaded stick, and Zubair gave it to him. Okay? Before I relate this hadith, do you know what they used to do in Vietnam? They'd cut the ear off of kafirs, right? They cut it, but see, they were doing something, you know, wrong. But they would cut the ears off and put it in their bags or in their necks, or make necklaces out of people's ears, okay, that they have killed. But a more suitable parable is when a lot of army people, they would go to a battlefield, they would pick up dirt and put it in a bag, right, and they'd label it. Well, this is a similitude of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Az-Zubair for the spearheaded stick as a souvenir, right? Az-Zubair gave it to him. When Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, Az-Zubair gave it to Abu Bakr. When Abu Bakr died, Az-Zubair took it back. After that, Umar asked for the same spearheaded stick because his two companions had it. If the Prophet ﷺ had it, you know, after the Prophet ﷺ died, Zubair took it back. And he gave it to Abu Bakr, right? Omar knew, had knowledge of this. Omar asked for it, the spearhead stick, and Zubair gave it to him. When Omar died, Zubair took it back. Later, Uthman asked for it. Zubair gave it to him. When Uthman died, it was given to the family of Ali, radiallahu anhu. It remained with them till Abdullah ibn Zubair asked for it from them, and it remained with him until his death. This hadith is in Bukhari. Okay. Here's another narration that is in Bukhari. In one of the battles, some companions said to Zubair, would you attack the enemy with us? Come on, let's go attack these group of kuffar, right? So you can imagine in a military expedition, there's a lot of things going on. And he said to them, Zubair said to them, he said, I fear that if I attack them, you will not attack. Meaning, if I go there with you, if I go first, man, when I go first, y'all gonna be right behind me, right? They said, we will not betray you. Okay, these, and Zubair, radiallahu anhu, he attacked the enemy's rows and retreated, and then the enemy stabbed him twice. When he was, he went in, they didn't come. They didn't come. So, Zubair went in strong, and they had, came rushing him, and he come to, you know, to reorganize his position, and he got stabbed twice because of these companions who didn't fall through. And these may have been some people who just took shahada and things of this nature. Okay. Urwa said, radiallahu anhu, I used to insert my fingers in the cavities of those stab wounds when I was a child. He used to poke his hand inside of these stab wounds. And if you've seen people from Vietnam, could you go check on this? If you've seen people from Vietnam, you can see the holes in it, and you can put your fingers in it. Ali ibn Zayd said, some of those who had seen Zubair told me that there had been holes as big as eyes in Zubair's chest from stabbing and shooting. this is a warrior. The scars and stabs in Zubair's body were decorations testifying his courage and bravery. And they were the highest decoration a human can have. It is stated by Hisham that his father said, on the day of Badr, Zubair was wearing a turban hiding his face. You could see nothing but his eyes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, the angels were sent down on the day of Badr dressed in the same manner as Zubair. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The stories and narrations that confirm the courageous acts of the prominent companions are too many to mention. Zubair utilized the bravery in the way of Allah to raise the banner of La ilaha illallah. Zubair bin al-Awwam was extremely pious. He feared committing the acts of disobedience. Although he had heard many hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he narrated few for fear that he would utter such of which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhuma said, I asked my father about a small number of ahadith he narrated from Allah. Subhanallah. You know, when you're talking to an individual, you maybe talking to a brother who has a beard and you haven't seen him in a long time, and a fly falls on his face. You're like, get it from you. Azbir, what like you said, wanted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get enough sleep. So what he did, he sat by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam just for the purpose of protection. And the people said they saw him wiping the flies, keeping the flies away from his face. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up and saw Az-Zubair using a fan to expel flies from his face. He told Az-Zubair that he would be with Az-Zubair on the day of judgment to protect him against the sparks of hellfire. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a companion on the day of judgment of all these great people and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some glad tidings of the spirit of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the glad tidings of paradise to Az-Zubayr, as reported in many ahadith. Sa'd ibn Zayd narrated that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 10 are in paradise, Abu Bakr is in paradise, Umar is in paradise, Uthman, Ali, Az-Zubayr, Talha, Talha, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Sa'd, the narrator, counted 9 and kept silent about the 10th. The people said, "We ask you by Allah to tell us who the 10th is." Abu Awar. Okay, this means the father of the one-eyed. He said, "Since you have asked me by Allah, Allah's Messenger said," and Abu Awar, referring to himself, is in paradise. In another hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah, once Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali, Uthman, Talha, Az-Zubair were on the mount of Hira, and the rock moved. Thereupon Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Be firm, there's a prophet, there's none but a prophet, a truthful one, and a martyr on you." And this hadith is in Imam al-Tirmidhi. This is another glad tidings for them, because the prophets, the truthful, and the martyrs will all be in paradise. Nay, they will be in the highest rank. We go over hopefully we can get to his martyrdom. Okay. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ loved Az-Zubayr very much. Okay. Their love was not because of the relation between him and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. It was for his courage. And every one of us been in a community where you have that special brother that if he called you and he was in San Francisco, you'd walk to go relieve his hardship. And this is how the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were toward Az-Zubayr. It was for his courage, his piety, his firmness in the truth, and generosity, in addition to the fact that he was one of those given the glad tidings of paradise, and one of those on whom Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam died while he was satisfied with them. What confirms their confidence in him is that they entrusted him with their deposits. When he died, his sons paid back hundreds of thousands to their rightful owners as peer his will. This was like their bank, right? You would, during that time, they didn't have all of these checking accounts and bank accounts and saving accounts. What they would do, they would put their wealth in a trustworthy person's house, whom the community respected, whom the enemies would not dare broach. So that was, that was their means of banking. And they did this with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to do this with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jahiliyyah. Okay? And this is how trustworthy Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was you know, before them, before he, you know, made his proclamation. Of course, he was trusted. He's the most trustworthy amongst us. But the Quraysh, after this, it is said in the history books, even after the people started harassing him and persecuting him, they still, some Quraysh, some Kuffar, still kept their wealth with him. SubhanAllah. And as Zubair was one of these persons. Another situation that confirms the companions' confidence in him is that when Uthman was afflicted by nasal bleeding in the year when there was an epidemic and was not able to perform pilgrimage, a man of Quraysh entered on him and said to him, "Appoint a successor. Appoint a successor." He said, "Have they said so?" The man said, "Yes." He said, "Who is that?" The man kept silent. Another man entered on him and said the same, and Uthman answered as he had answered the former. Uthman said, "They say Az-Zubayr." The people said, "Yes, yes." He said, "By him in whose hand my soul is, he is one of the best of them and the most beloved to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." The companions used to entrust their children to Az-Zubayr's care. Hisham bin Urwa told that his father said, quote, "Seven of the companions, among whom Uthman ibn Mas'ud and Abdurrahman, entrusted their sons to Az-Zubayr. He used to support them with his wealth, keeping their properties for them until they attained puberty." SubhanAllah. 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 When Umar was stabbed, he chose six persons that the Khalifa or the Khalafa should be chosen from. All of them were of those with whom Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. Az-Zubayr was one of them. Zubayr was one of them. This shows the confidence of Umar on him. Honesty, strength, piety, firmness in the religion, justice, truthfulness, prudence, and wise management of affairs were among the qualifications required for those for the one who to be elected as Khalifa. Or Umar must have been sure that Az-Zubayr had all these virtues. His spinning in the way of Allah. Az-Zubayr was generous, was very generous. He gave in a way as if he had fear of no poverty. Okay, he didn't have any fear of poverty. And this was the sunnah of the companions. They spent without fear of poverty. He spent his wealth in the way of Allah. It was narrated that when he died, he bequeathed his property to be sold to pay any debts he had. It's reported that he had 1,000 slaves who used to pay the land tax to him. He used to distribute the revenue every night and go home empty-handed. So, you see that not only did people kept their wealth with him, he was also a wealthy man. Okay. Inshallah ta'ala, we go to somewhat of the Sahaba and praise of him. It is sufficient for him that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him, "Each prophet used to have a disciple, and Az-Zubayr is my disciple." This is an honor. "Which glory might surpass the glad tidings of paradise given to him by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Here we shall mention only some few words that show his characteristics. Abu Umar said that Az-Zubayr was a lucky trader, or a fortunate trader. He was asked, "How did you attain this status in trading?" He said, "Because I never bought a defective commodity and did not stretch for profit, but Allah blesses whatever He wills." Al-Hasan Ibn Ali radiyallahu anhuma wrote in his will, marry into the family of Az-Zubair and give them in marriage because they are your equals among the Quraysh. So you're getting a little behind the scenes info, right? Marry the family of Az-Zubair. They're a good breed. Now the companion said that he asked a gathering of one or more than 20 men of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was the most generous in the lifetime of Allah's Messenger. They said, Az-Zubair and Ali ibn Abi Talib. Once Ibn Umar heard a man saying, I am the son of Allah's Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's disciple. Ibn Umar said, if you are of the Az-Zubair's progeny, then you are right. Then you are right. Meaning this is out of honor of Az-Zubair. Ishaq, he said, on the day of the trench, Nawfal bin Abdullah al-Makhzumi asked for a duel, right? Az-Zubair came out for him and struck him twice, which killed him. Okay, so this is, so it's out of praise of Az-Zubair. They're looking at his lifetime and showing his achievements and showing what the Sahaba said and showing what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said and his generosity, his bravery. Urwa said, Az-Zubair said, actually there's a companion saying that there were three holes as big as eyes in Az-Zubair's chest. Two received on the day of Badr and the third on the day of Al-Yarmouk. This is battling the apostates. Subhanallah. Look at the track record of the Sahaba. It is also said that Zubair fought when he was just 12 years old. He would attack an enemy at any time. He's like a pet bull. He's always ready. Okay, we go to his martyrdom. Az-Zubair was killed on the day of the camel in the month of Rajab at the age of 75. Subhanallah. A 75-year-old man out on the battlefield. And I'm going to tell you, some of the Sahaba were older than this. What in the world are you doing out on the battlefield at the age of 75? But you see, they loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Az-Zubair was a warrior. He loved the battlefield, as we've seen earlier in Abyssinia, when he went to just go watch and get the news. When, if you look at his life, he was wanting Shaheed. He was wanting to be martyred. Az-Zubair gave up fighting in that battle on his return to Al-Madinah. Actually, the Battle of Yarmouk was not the Battle of Musaylimah, but this was a battle that happened between the companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. And Az-Zubair, he gave up fighting. On his return to Al-Madinah, Ibn Jarmuz At-Taymi killed him out of betrayal. It was narrated that he killed him while he was praying. Subhanallah. What a weak way to kill a man. After killing Az-Zubair, Ibn Jarmuz asked the permission to enter on Ali. Subhanallah. On that, Ali said, by Allah, the murderer of Ibn Safiyya, referring to Az-Zubair, will never enter paradise. I heard Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, each prophet has a disciple, and Az-Zubair is my disciple. Ibn Jarmuz came to Mus'ab bin Az-Zubair, his son, it seems, رضي الله عنه, and said, retaliate against me for Az-Zubayr. He went to Az-Zubayr's son and said, after Allah put his heart through fitna, this is a guy who called himself a Muslim, who killed Az-Zubayr, subhanAllah. And after Allah put his heart through fitna, when you're remorsing and he went to Az-Zubayr's son. He said, retaliate against me for Az-Zubayr. He's trying to be recompensed for this act. Mus'ab bin Az-Zubayr was the governor of Iraq in that time. Mus'ab wrote to Abdullah bin Az-Zubayr wa radiyallahu anhuma concerning this affair. Abdullah bin Az-Zubayr radiyallahu anhuma said, quote, would I retaliate against Ibn Jarmuz for Az-Zubayr? Question mark. By Allah, never, even for the string from the footwear of Az-Zubayr. You can see the understanding of these great men. These great men, they did not want to harm Muslims. They did not want to retaliate. They were, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. We look at our lives and we look at what occurs in our life. And if a Muslim spit on us or took a dollar from us, we would be at the courthouse by morning, right? Like you said, I'm off the line. But your father has been killed. Ask a man to kill him due to the dreadful dreams he used to see by night. It's a thing, it's a thing, 3 minutes. It's a thing when, you know what they do in Cuba? This is what I hear, okay? They say when you do something wrong to them, the mafia, these capitalists, right? They say that what they do to you, they don't kill you. They kill your whole family. And they let you live. Right? So you, for your, can you imagine? Because if they kill you, that's it. That's it. Yes, it's easy. But for you to live knowing that all the heads of your family is on your neck, this is way worse than dying an easy death. So Az-Zubayr, he went to a man, the killer of Az-Zubayr, Ibn Jarmuz, he said, please kill me. Because of the dreadful dreams he used to dream at night. Abdullah bin Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu said, my father asked me to pay his debts when he died. He said, if you are unable to pay any of them, seek the help of my mawli, or my patron. By Allah, I did not understand what he had meant by my patron, so I asked him, who is that, O father? He said, Allah, Azza wa Jal, Allah, the Exalted. Abdullah further said, by Allah, I never fell in a financial trouble concerning his debts when I prayed, Ya Mawla of Az-Zubayr, repay Az-Zubayr's debts. And behold, the debt was settled. Wallahi, 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 wallahi. Wallahi, if you know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and you know how to ask from Allah, he will be there every time. I'm a living witness of this. Trust me. I can have you until Fajr telling you all the miraculous things that happened in my life. Yeah, mashallah, alhamdulillah. And the believers, and the Sahaba. This is something known. And behold, the debt was settled. Ibn Jarmuz, or Ibn, I think I'm saying this in an English way. I think it's more, Jarmuz, but it's English transliteration of Arabic, so I really can't give you the accuracy of his name. Killed the disciple of Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the one giving glad tidings of paradise by him. He killed the one to whom Allah's Messenger said, may my father and mother be sacrificed for you. So, but you know, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his life and gave him his inner desire of to be a shaheed. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with Az-Zubair and with his family and with his mother and with his sons. Allahumma ameen. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Oh, yeah. Oh.